Much of the Bible is written to those who are in the shadows. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye be also. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that love him. And over again, you find that most of the Bible is written to those who are in the shadows. It is seldom that we find a passage that tells of the dangers of noonday. Now, in the message tonight, I'm not going to address the 13% of the people in this group who are unemployed. I have said much to you, much to encourage you, and quite often I try to remind you of the great promises of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. I've tried through the years, and especially in the last few years, to encourage that 13% of our people who are unemployed. Tonight, I want to address the 87% who are employed. I want not to talk tonight to the 13% who are at employment's midnight, but I want to talk to the 87% who are at employment's noonday. I address not tonight the widow who is at loneliness midnight. I want to talk to the lady who has a loving husband. I want to talk to the lady who has a happy marriage. Not the marital midnight, but the one who's at marital noonday. I want to talk tonight not to the orphan. I believe often I mention something about the orphan. I'd like to bypass the orphan tonight, the bus kid. I'd like to talk about to you kids that have your own rooms at home and have your own beds and have your own closet and have a nice closet of clothes. I like to talk to you kids that get to borrow the family car, or you have a good bicycle, and you have you have an allowance. I want to talk to you kids tonight. No, not the one in juvenile midnight, but those in juvenile noonday. I want to talk to you. I'm not talking tonight to the deaf. I'm going to bypass the deaf tonight. They can listen, but I often try to encourage the deaf. I want to talk to those of you that have good hearing. I mean, you hear well. You enjoy the music, you enjoy the choir, everything is all right. I address tonight not the blind, but to those who can see. Those who are at eyesight's noontime and not at eyesight's midnight. I'm not going to talk tonight to those of you that have wayward children. I'm going to talk to those of you whose children are making you proud of them. They're serving God. They're obeying. It's a joy to have them. I want to talk to the ones tonight who are at noonday and not at midnight. I'm not talking tonight basically to those who are sick or those who are crippled or those who are working their way through college. I want to talk to those tonight whose parents send your tuition every month to you or to the school. I want to talk to those of you tonight who walk on two good legs. I'm not going to honor tonight nor speak tonight to those of you who are the more than conquerors. I want to talk to you, to those of you tonight to whom everything is all right. As far as you know, you're happily married. As far as you know, your children are all well. As far as you know, no illness lurks in the shadows. As far as you know, your job is secure. As far as you know, everything is just all right tonight with you. I'd like to talk to you who are in the noontime and not at the midnight. You know, the honest truth is, you can drive tonight down Holman Avenue, and you come to Forest Avenue down in South West Hammond. And you'll drive by a house tonight if you wanted to, and that's the mayor's house, Mayor of Hammond. You might say, boy, he's got it made. I mean, boy, he's got the highest office as far as politics is concerned in the city of Hammond. He's got it made. What you don't know is that Mayor Ruskoski comes to hear me preach often because he has a grandchild who has leukemia. You drive out Highway 30 all the way to the college. About halfway between Teebles and the turnoff to go to the college, you'll find a big rustic house on the left side. One of our deacons lives there. His wife and family live there. Beautiful house. Beautiful setting. Beautiful yard. Boy, you look over that big house and you say, my, my, they've really got it made. What you don't know is inside that house is a daughter who's an adult with the mind of a little child whom they have to watch over day and night. You drive by the president's home of Howells Anderson College and you say, you see that beautiful house Dr. Evans lives in and he's president of the college and you say, boy, he's got it made. What you don't think about maybe is that his dear wife, Mrs. Evans, has cancer. You drive by that beautiful home on the Bill Rice Ranch tonight where Mrs. Bill Rice lives. And in that house, for years, there have been shadows. You see, most of us live sometime in the shadows. But you know, it seems like most of our troubles come at noontime. And I believe with all of my heart tonight that more people slide into sin, more people leave the will of God, more people leave the Bible, more people leave the prayer closet at the noon times of life than at the midnights of life. You know, it's hard to pray at noonday. Doesn't seem as necessary to read the Bible at noonday. Now, when I say noonday, I'm talking about the time. I'm talking about when things are all okay. When you can sing, everything's all right in my Father's house. And where there's joy, joy, joy. No child is wilting or wasting away with leukemia. No wife is having treatments for cancer. There's no husband who's just left the family. There's no loss of a job and wondering how you're going to make ends meet. All the payments, sir, are okay on up on the house. And nobody's about to foreclose on your house. Now I'll talk to you tonight. It just doesn't seem as necessary to read the Bible when everything's at noonday. It isn't as easy to find Jesus. Standing somewhere in the shadows you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. That's where you find the Savior. In the shadows. Check your Bible. Who saw Jesus? Whoever saw him? Stephen saw him when he was stoned outside the city of Lystra. Paul saw him when he was stoned outside the city. Stephen outside the city of Jerusalem and Paul outside Lystra. Joshua saw him. He's about to fight the battle when it seemed humanly impossible to win. The Hebrew children saw him in the fiery furnace. You know, it's awfully hard to see Jesus at noontime of life. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'll guarantee you that the amount of time spent in prayer by the people in this room this week would almost entirely depend on whether or not you're in the shadows or at noontime. You know, at noontime, sin is easier to afford. At noontime, there's little seeming need to live by faith. Nobody at noontime, when everything's okay, money is rolling in, everybody's well, no problems, no burden, no heartaches, it's noontime. Nobody sings, well, I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory. You don't have to do that. Nobody shouts at noontime. But don't need to shout. There are a few battles at noontime.
Hence, there are few victories at noontime. Hence, there are few shoutings at noontime. But I want to serve notice on you tonight. That young lady whose mama is sending her tuition to college is in more serious danger than that young lady who works in the dining hall. And that couple tonight whose jobs are secure is in more serious trouble and more danger than that couple who's lost the job because of the recession. The noontime, during the noontime, church doesn't seem as essential. The coming of Christ doesn't seem as sweet. Heaven doesn't seem as real. It's harder to be a blessing. This week, we didn't have everybody. Everybody that came to this platform this week to bless our hearts was in the shadows. Everybody. We didn't have everybody come to say, boy, nobody's sick. Lifetime on the top side. Sun shines all the time. Nobody did that. You see, at the noontime, you're in more trouble. Listen to me. I'll guarantee you that the people in this room tonight who've read their Bibles the most this week are the people who've had the most shadows this week. And the folks who prayed the most this week are those who've had the most shadows this week. And if you have no shadows, you're in more serious trouble than you are if you have shadows. And it's noontime in your life. Listen, you ladies that have husbands that are home and faithful and provide for you and so forth, you'll come near backsliding than the lady that has to walk with God all week to make ends meet. At noontime, there's less need to praise God. At noontime, prayer answers aren't as sweet. At noontime, conceit is easier to find. At noontime, pride is nearer. At noontime, patience is often rare. At noontime, friendship is hazy. At noontime, more homes dissolve. At noontime, more narcotics are found. At noontime, there are more suicides. At noontime, alcoholism is more prevalent. At noontime, divorces increase. At noontime, there are more nervous breakdowns. At noontime, the children are harder to rear. At noontime, friends are harder to trust. The destruction that wasteth at noonday. I'm talking to somebody tonight to whom this Bible used to be very dear when you were in the shadows. I'm talking to somebody tonight who used to fall on your face and walk with God, and prayer was sweet, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. But I'm talking to folks tonight who haven't prayed much all week. I'm talking to folks tonight who haven't spent that many minutes in prayer all week. You're a fundamental Christian. You call yourself a good Christian, but you're sort of hypocritical. You know why? Because, listen, I'll tell you why. Because it's noontime. The destruction that wasteth at noonday. Listen. More people go into sin because the sun is shining on them than because the clouds are coming. There's a way we huddle up together. Remember when your little kids, I can recall down in Texas, when used to have the tornadoes. And, brother, you ain't seen nothing till you see a Texas tornado, because you can see forever down in Texas. No trees to stop you. And you could see a tornado coming 50, 60 miles away. You could see that thing. And we get up on top of the house and watch the old thing like that. And you know what we'd do? I'd run to Mama. And Earlene would run to Mama. Earlene would grab hold of one side of her skirt, and I'd grab hold of the other side. And Mama was never so sweet. And Mama never was so needed. And so, hey, did you ever go down an old-fashioned storm cellar? You don't see those anymore. You young people, so you're born too late to know anything. But a storm cellar, that was a hole that was dug down in the backyard, and it had some steps down in it, and usually the top was a little mound on the outside, and the hole sort of slanted, and the door sort of slanted, and you raised up the door and walked down, and in case a storm came through, you could be saved. You wouldn't be killed. You were killed instead with a rattlesnake that's down there in the storm cellar. But I can remember 1531 Extra Street, we had a storm cellar, and boy, I'd see a big old twister coming down those old Texas plains. And Mama and I would take off with the storm cellar. And I'd hug Mama.
I'd say, Mama, are we going to be killed? Are we going to be killed?
And Mama said, no, son, we're all right. We're okay.
Mama, I love you, Mama. I love you, Mama. I love you, Mama.
I love you too, son. Ah, but you know, the next day when the sun came out, I didn't give a hoot about Mama. I want to play ball with the boys. I didn't care about Mama. No. You know why? Because it was noontime, and Mama and I weren't near as close. And I'm talking to some people tonight. Jesus was mighty sweet to you during the tornado, wasn't he? Remember when you're in the hospital, how near he was? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. But problem's over, like the fellow sliding off the roof. And Lord help me, Lord save me, Lord save me. See, his bitch just caught on a nail. He said, never mind, Lord, I'll make it by myself now. And that's where most of us are. I'm saying, the destruction that wasteth at noonday, the noontime. That's why God has to keep most of us on our back most of the time, so we'll stay close to him. And so, I'm saying that there are more nervous breakdowns at noontime. Children are harder to rear at noontime. And friends are harder to trust at noontime than they are at the nighttime. Remember how sweet the Bible was to you? As I look back on my life and look at those times. I remember when this building burned over here. And I remember when the battles we had 23 years ago when I first became pastor here. I can recall how sweet the Lord was and how wonderful the Bible was. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. And yet, remember that? Remember when the doctor said, I think the test may be cancerous. And boy, you ran to the Bible, how sweet it was. In the shadows, how sweet it was. And then, doctor said, oh, everything's going to be okay. And now everything's all right. No problems, no burdens, no heartaches. And what happens? The destruction that wasteth at noonday. One reason God has to knock us down so much is so he can keep us close to himself. I see a couple. They got married. And they had to struggle. Brother Ray, I heard you got a promotion. Little Bird told me that. Congratulations. Brother Boardway is now president of the... What are you, president? Anyway, he got a promotion at work, I heard. And... he's now the head custodian down in Ipsco. And, but he's got a, been promoted. And, Brother Ray, I remember when you were a teenager, and when you were in college, and when you first started out, a little house you lived in down here when you were struggling. And I imagine you and your wife had to pray an awful lot. Lord, provide our needs. Oh, God, we got to have our needs provided. Now, I want to tell you something, Brother Ray. It'll be harder, easier for you now to backslide than it would have been back yonder. Going up. I remember Dr. Streeter back there. Dr. Dennis Streeter was in medical school. I remember how he had a job and he got about an hour of sleep at night and almost starved to death and work all night and go to school all day. That's why he doesn't know anything now. He slept all during his classes while he was in medical school. But I remember how Dr. Streeter and Dr. Cal over here, too, same way, how they struggled to make it. And I remember how they had a hard time making ends meet. And I remember how they had to pray down the blessings of God and pray down an income and try to get food to eat and pay the tuition, get some sleep and so forth. But now Dr. Cal's got a big practice and Dr. Dennis has a big practice and they're one of the leading surgeons in this area. It'd be mighty easy to backslide now, doctors. Mighty easy. You know why? At noontime, it's easier to backslide. Those are the days. Young couple, they struggle for years and have to pray down. And those are wonderful days when you got to pray down little things. You know, it's a funny thing. The little things I like. See that right there? I keep oodles of Banaca. I take two spoonfuls every morning for breakfast. I keep oodles of Banaca. And that's my last. I used to keep 25, 30 of them. That's my last one. And tonight I said, I got to get me some Banaca. And I'm going out of town tomorrow. And I walked out the door of the office to come to church. And just had, I didn't pray about it, but I said, I've got to get me some Banaca. I went out of town to get it. and the teenagers were out there, and one of the boys had made me the nicest little chest, beautiful little chest, and fellas had bored holes in it, and it probably, I'm guessing, 35, 40, little place where you set binoculars there on the inside of it. And I got the classiest binoculars holder in the whole world. And I said, this is my last one. Well, the teacher said, yeah, we knew. And but little things like that mean so much to me. I'm talking about that trip we took years ago with the family down to Texas. And the church wasn't very big. We couldn't afford to fly in those days, and so we took the family to Texas. And my mother lived in Garland. My mother and sister lived in Garland, Texas, and you know, it's been 17, 18, 19 years ago. And we took a train. And so we got caught the train and traveled all night. Well, we had to get to Garland station about 7 o'clock in the morning, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And so I got up. We couldn't afford a Pullman place. We all slept in chair cars. So about 5 o'clock in the morning, I was awake. I wanted to go wash up a little bit and shave and brush my teeth so I could, get to kiss my mom and sister when I got to Texas. So I was early in the morning in the men's washroom, and nobody was there but me. And so I opened my little briefcase and got my little toilet article thing, and no toothpaste. And I had toothbrush, no toothpaste. I didn't have any binoculars in those days. And I've got to have some toothpaste. I got to kiss my mama and my sister. Well, my mama, I don't care if my sister smells, likes the smell or not. But I got to kiss them. I'll be there in a little while. And I know what to do. And so I said, okay, I'll go back to the back car. Back in the back car, they had this little the guy that sold, you know, the toiletries and so forth, candy. And so I went back to the back car and got back in the back car. I said, hey, give me a tube of toothpaste. He said, sir, just sold my last one. I said, who'd you sell it to? I want to borrow some. He said, don't know. I said, look, man, all I want is a tube, one little tube. I said, have you got a squirt of toothpaste? He said, no, I haven't got a squirt. I went back to the room. I checked everybody's suitcase and the whole family. I checked everybody's briefcase, everybody's purse, and nobody had any toothpaste. I went up there to the little washroom, and I said, Lord, you've got to help me get some toothpaste. I've got an awful brown taste in my mouth. Did you know even Dr. Hiles has bad breath if he doesn't brush his teeth? And so I said, Lord, please, give me one little squirt. Don't ask for a tube. Give me one little squirt. Listen, before I got through saying that prayer, I actually prayed about it. Give me a squirt of toothpaste. And the door opened, the restroom. Little boy about 12 years old walked in, little fat fella. He must have weighed 175 pounds, real fat and tubby. And he walked in there, and anything I can stand, it's a brazen kid. He said, hello there, sir. How are you? And I said, fine. How are you? And he said, what's your name? I said, Jack Hiles. Little squirt said, fire there, Jack. Little kid, big fat slob, 12 years old. I put her there. Boy, I wanted to squash him, but he'd have made too much mess. And so, he said, fire there, Jack! And I was washing my face and begging God for some toothpaste. And he said, hey, Jack, let me show you what I bought in Chicago. I said, what did you buy in Chicago, smart aleck? He said, he pulled out a big old key. It looked like a giant potted meat can key, the kind, you know, you put on a potted meat or and you roll it around like that used to. And so he said, guess what that is, Jack? Jack! And I said, what is it, son? He said, that's a toothpaste tube squeezer. And I said, a toothpaste tube squeezer? Yeah, Jack, he said, it's a key, and it's got a slit in it right here. You put it over the end of a toothpaste tube, and you roll it up like that, and squeeze it out in the top. You don't have to just squeeze the middle. I said, how does it do that again? He said, you put the key like this. He held his fingers out there, and said, it rolls it up. And I said, I don't understand it. He said, well, listen, I said, could you do that on some toothpaste? Yeah, he said, Jack, got some up here. So what is gone? I got my toothbrush out. And he rolled it out, and I got it on the end of my toothbrush. And you know what? All the rest of the way, I felt like I was on a honeymoon. I really did. I felt like that Jesus and I are on a honeymoon together. I love little things like that. I love it. I was walking down the alley one time here, and I wanted some, before I left the office, I wanted some peppermint. I don't know why. I wanted some peppermint, and I looked at the office. Usually I can find it. I got everything in there that, well, I mean, me and the cockroaches enjoy, and so I was walking, but I couldn't find any peppermint, and I want some peppermint. And I said, Lord, give me some peppermint. I don't think I can preach without peppermint. You know, the Bible said, not by power, but by my peppermint, saith the Lord of hosts. So I've got to have peppermint. And so I walked down the alley asking God for peppermint. Tom Bennett walked out that door right back there in the education building into the alley while I was walking to church. And Tom said, hey, preacher, want one? And tossed me a little round peppermint thing about like that. You know, it's a wonderful thing when God loves you and God wants to provide the little things for you. I remember down in Bill Rice Ranch one day, when Dr. Rice and I were preaching years ago. So I was preaching, and it came down the gully washer. But the old tabernacle had no sides on it, and a metal roof. And man, it sounded like a herd of cattle. Oh, when it poured down, it's pouring down, nobody. And I tried to be heard, and I couldn't be heard. And I hollered and hollered, nobody could hear me. And Dr. John just stood up and walked out like this. And he walked out like that. Outside the tabernacle, no wall. He looked up, held his glasses up, and it stopped raining. Immediately. He stayed out there all the time I was preaching. When I finished preaching, it started raining again. He walked up, sat down beside me. He said, now, you go out there and take care of it for me. And you won't believe it. And I was shocked to death. But it quit raining. When I went out there, and we have it like that, and it quit raining. And then they fanned me and woke me up and revived me and poured water on me. But you know, I wouldn't trade for the world the joy of having to pray to make it. I feel sorry if you folks don't have to pray. I guess if I wanted to, I could become pretty well off financially. I guess if I worked at it and tried to make money on my books, I got one pastor in this country offered me $10,000, but come preach five sermons for him. I'm not very smart. That's $2,000 a sermon. I wouldn't do it for less than $3,000 a sermon, so I didn't go. But no joke. I got one pastor said, Brother Jack, you give me five nights, I'll give you $10,000. I guess if I took that, what Russell Anderson gave me, that apartment house he gave me, I took it, I turned down, I might get wealthy. I guess if I made all the money I could on books, I guess I might be wealthy. I don't know. But you know, I wouldn't be wealthy for the world. You know why? I'd just love to get against the wall and have to beg God for help. And then when God gives it, I just enjoy it and love it. I mean, I'm saying I always like to stay the place to where, and I guess the Lord knows I need to, but I love it I like it. I live better in the shadows, that'll do in the noontime. But I'm talking to three people tonight who are living in noontime. You've got to watch it. Listen, if you don't watch it, you'll quit your praying, and your kids will go to the devil. Most of you little widows tonight, rearing your kids by yourself and living in the shadows, you're not going to spoil your kids. But those of you that have plenty, and those of you who live at noontime, your kids will be mighty easy to spoil. Here's a church. And the church has troubles. I remember back in those days when we were having our problems in the early days of the church here, and I came. Folks would come by and they'd say, Preacher, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I'm for you. And I want you to know I'm with you. And we'd snuggle up together, and I'm talking about spiritually, we'd snuggle up as a church together. And we were going through the rough times. And those were some of the sweetest days we ever went through. And I'll be eternally indebted to those of you who stood beside the preacher. And remember that day, 1 o'clock in the morning that morning when the fire swept through this building and destroyed a building over there and destroyed one here. We came down here, and I guess for 10 hours, we watched our auditorium burn, one of our education buildings burn, and we watched it, and we cried, and one by one, we encouraged each other, and the tough times were there. We didn't have any trouble staying together in those days. But we had time to criticize because we're going through troubles together in the shadows, in the evening time. But now, church is big, everything's okay, bills paid. Better watch it. Better watch it. That's when trouble comes. I know college couples go to college, and they come in here, get in here at midnight, because everybody goes to college, arrives at midnight, especially if you're married. And you got a mattress on the back of your U-Haul and a couple of chairs and an old sofa where the stuffing's out. You show up here and it's midnight. And you get an apartment. And the apartment's already occupied by rodents. And the wife says to her husband, "Honey, this place is filthy." She puts her head on his shoulder, and he says, "Honey, one of these days I'm going to see that you have a better place to live." He goes out and enrolls in Hiles Anderson College next time she sees him his graduation day. And, listen, I'll bind you one thing, young people. One of these days when the sun comes out and your days become noon days, everything's okay, you're going to have a harder time staying close to each other than you are while you're in college. You're going to have a harder time. Why? There's a certain kind of destruction that wasteth at noonday. You see, you have no immediate need. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You have no immediate need. If I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. You have no immediate need of my God to supply all your needs according to riches and glory. You have no immediate need of let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen to me. That's what happens to churches. A while ago, question and answer time, one of our fine men said, "Brother Hiles, do you think that our church people take for granted what God is doing here?" Yes, I think most of you take it for granted. I think most of you will live someday when it's all over, and it will someday be all over. What happened to churches like, and I'll just call some names, like the old Paul Ritter Tabernacle. What happened to churches like the Cato Tabernacle, A.B. Simpson Tabernacle, Spurgeon's Tabernacle, John Wesley Chapel? What happened to them? What happened to them? They were young. Everything was wonderful. But there was a struggle. Pay bills. And the folks were young and zealous. And they had their troubles and they had their trials. And then the church grew older and the people grew older. And people that one time were struggling now have big jobs. Brother John, I was in Texas not long ago and I saw somebody that broke my heart. I've used him as illustration here. I recall he had 7 kids. He and his wife had 7 kids. Had 2 bedrooms. That's all. 7 kids. He was a deacon in our church in Garland. One of the finest men we had. Humble man. And he had a job making probably $80, $100 a week. But he got an insurance selling business. And he got to sell a lot of insurance. And he got promoted. He became an executive. And now tonight he's president. Well, the last I heard, he's president of the insurance company. Wait a minute. No struggle anymore. No praying for rent anymore. No praying for God to provide our needs anymore. None of that. What happened? His wife called me on the phone. And she said, "Brother Hiles, would you pray for my husband?" I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "He's president of the insurance company." She said, "He's worth probably several million dollars now." I couldn't believe it. Honest to Pete, he was just a common laborer when he was in our church. And I couldn't believe it. And she said, "We're worth several million dollars. We have several Cadillacs, on private airplane." And then she began to cry. She said, "Oh, Brother Jack." She said, "Leon doesn't go to church anymore.
And she said he got off in the wrong crowd, started drinking liquor. And she said, Brother Jack Leon's an alcoholic now. And she said, could you help him? He's a vegetable. She said, everything is all falling apart. Fine!
Destruction that wasteth at noonday. You better watch it and everything's all right. You better watch it. Listen, don't you think if you prayed as much when it's noontime, maybe God wouldn't have to give you so many shadows? But the Lord has to put you in the shadows to get you to pray for him. I saw a church grow old. I've seen this church grow old. I've seen some of you grow old. I've seen some of you. You're young, energetic. You had bus routes and went soul winning. I remember. But now you're older. Right? Some of you make 35, 40, 50, 60 thousand a year. And some make more than that a year in this room. Bus routes are beneath you now, aren't they? Better watch it. There's a destruction that wasteth at noonday. Better watch it. I'm not scolding you. I'm warning you. I'm saying. Better watch it. You say, preacher, I had my struggle. I served my time. You never do serve your time up in serving God. Some of you used to go soul winning. You know what? Here's what happens to a church. The young people serve God until they get old and they quit. And a new group of young people come on till they get old and they quit. And a new group comes on, they get old and they quit. And God Almighty is not going to put up with that kind of garbage from you older people. No way. What you say, Brother Hyle? You don't expect a man making $75,000 a year have a bus route, do you? Yep, that's exactly what I expect. I was going to try to keep you from knowing it, but you know I've got washed up today. I'm praising God about being sick more right now than I have in a long time. Because I, 15 minutes, I prayed all week, God help me to get through pastor school without being sick, and day and night, and poured my soul out, and really, to be quite frank with you, I didn't eat like I should have eaten. And 15 minutes after pastor school's over, I guess I got a flu bug or something, and I've had fever and sore throat, and lumbago and cancer, the toenail and everything since then, and everything but sickle cell anemia. But anyway, don't breathe on me, boy. But I've ever since pastor school, I've been, and I'm taking antibiotics and so forth, and whee, I'm having a big time. I've been praising God because I made it through pastor school. The strange thing about that, and that is that when pastor school was over and I got a little sick, I thank God that he kept me well during pastor school. And I'm so glad that I have to run hungry all the time. I'm so glad that every time I need a dollar, I got to pray it down. Wouldn't it be terrible to have a bunch of money in the bank? Wouldn't that be awful? I'm serious. Wouldn't it be terrible if you didn't have to pray for something? Wouldn't it be awful to where that if your dad's had a need that you Lord, give me the need now and supply my answer, and the Lord gives it to you, and you shout and praise the Lord. Now I'm saying, there's a destruction that wasteth at noonday, and you better watch it. I'm looking at a lot of people tonight. When I came here, you sure were looking young. Did you see that old man over here that was saved this morning up there? Did you see him? White hair, walking like this. Huh? I looked at that card. You know what? I'm 1 year older than he is. I started to say, God bless this dear old soul over here. Senior citizen, up in years. God bless him. He's 65 years old. I felt like that fellow, you know, that was being interviewed. He lived such a long old age. And they said, to what do you attribute your old age? He said liquor and wild women and smoking marijuana and cigarettes and living in nightlife and discos and rock and roll. Said, is that what you attribute your long age to, old age? Yeah, that's right. Said, how old are you? He said, 24. I am. I don't want to get to where I don't want to get old like some of you folks have and get self-sufficient and self-secure. I'll tell you something, folks. It's a lot more fun than to pray it down than to check it out. Yeah. A lot more fun. It's a lot more fun. Oh, God! What you gonna do? And the Lord says, I'll give it to you. Listen, almost every month of my life, some wonderful, marvelous answer to prayer comes. And I'd hate to live without it. I feel so sorry for you middle-aged people that have gotten fat, spiritually fat. No soul women! Let the rest of the church do it! I've served my time! My Bible says you're going to answer to God for every idle moment. Didn't say every young idle moment, says every idle moment. Didn't say every teenage idle moment, or every young married idle moment, every idle moment! I was going to tell you, I've been trying to figure out where I was a while ago, and now I figured it out. It's that whoopee stuff I'm taking. But anyway, I called Dr. Streeter last night. Thank God for these good doctors. I called Dr. Dennison last night, and he was home. He'd just gotten back from the wedding there at the church. And I said, Doc, I got it again. Mine always comes. It feels like a golf ball right down there. It settles in my weakest. They say that sickness settles in your weakest point. That's why you always have headaches, Brother John. And, right there. A big old glob, just like a golf ball right there. And I called Doc and I said, Doc, I got it again. He said, I'll call in a prescription for you. Now, wait a minute. That man performs probably a dozen surgeries a week. It must have been about, 6:37, Doc? And he said, you just got me, preacher. I get this. Get this now. Surgeon. He said, you just got me, preacher. I just got in from the wedding of the Wilbur girl and the Jones boy. And he said, I'm just leaving to go calling on my bus route. Now, as long as that happens in this church, the old church won't sink. But you let you folks been here. Oh, I'm out. Well, I remember, Brother Howe, when you were young, and I remember when you had a big, big, thick head of hair. I remember when you had a waistline, too, buddy. Those were the days. You know why those were the days? Because you were interested in those days. Oh, the good old days are gone. If you call the days when you had a 1,000 and some odd saved last Sunday not good days, you ought to find a mourner's bench down here at the altar and get right with God. I'll tell you what the good days were. The good days, remember, when you used to keep pastor in your home during pastor school? I checked it, Brother Ray. You know that the nicer the homes in our church, the fewer pastors they kept in pastor school. Yeah. I'm not trying to scold you. We had enough beds. And I'm saying this. I'm saying that someday the destruction that wasteth at noonday is going to come and settle on your house if you don't get back in the harness for God. That's true. Remember, pastor school used to have somebody stay in your home. Some of you folks have bedrooms that are vacant and not used, and yet the truth is, we had couples in this church who slept on the floor all week long and let other people have their bedroom. I know one couple slept on the kitchen floor all week long, and one man said he slept in his bathroom all week long so a couple could sleep in the bed as their guest. By the way, there was a time when you did that. Till you got that nice house. Till you got middle age. Listen, noonday... Noonday is, the day is half over. Did you know there's a destruction that wastes at middle age? And you better watch it. Happens to all of us. Sometimes. I heard Dr. Malone say, I love this. I wish I'd have done this so I could use it as an illustration for myself. I think I may have told it to you. Tom Malone is driving from Eastern Michigan to Western Michigan. No, Western Michigan to Eastern Michigan. He said, the devil started talking to me. The devil said, how old are you, Tom? Tom said, 65. He said, the devil sitting out there beside me. He said, the devil said, how much you got laid away? He said, I said, very little. He said, Tom, what kind of retirement plan do you have? And I said, I haven't got any. The devil said, you're a fool. And I said, I think I am too. You're right, devil. Devil said, Tom, you worked all these years. Folks really appreciate you. I said, no. Boy, you're crazy. And Tom Malone said, stop the car! Jam the brakes! Stop the car! Open the door! Got out! Walked around the other side! Opened the other door on the other side and said, get out! The destruction that wasteth at noonday. How do you folks in the noonday of life? Now, I'm not quite as punchy today as I usually am, and not quite as loud and vociferous. Notice those big words. Greek words just flow off my lips all the time. And as you, because of my voice. But I'll tell you what. I preach as hard as now as I used to when I was 25 years old. And I go at it as hard as ever did and have the same convictions ever had and love the Bible more than ever did. I am not going to become a middle-aged preacher. You know, beloved, open your Bibles now. I've settled down now. I've matured a little bit and I have mellowed. Mellowed means you're getting rotten, Buster. And no, you keep your zeal. The destruction that wasteth at noonday. I wonder how many men go bad at noonday. I wonder how many men have businesses and are successful and decide to travel around the country and get their shoulder back from the wheel and destroy themselves and destroy their lives and destroy their dreams and wreck all they've done in a half a lifetime at noonday. You better watch the destruction that wasteth at noonday. It's more deadly than the pestilence that cometh by night. High noon's temptations are greater than midnight's temptations. Hey, remember when Paul said to Timothy, said, Timothy, flee youthful lust? Did you know Timothy wasn't a young man when Paul wrote that? Timothy was a middle-aged man. He was at the noon time of his life. And Paul was saying, young people, Paul was saying, flee youthful lust, middle-aged man. Don't you sort of get sick at your stomach when you see some old codger wearing long hair like a hippie? You know, some old codger. This lawyer that represents all these crooks in America. I've forgotten his name. But anyway, it's sort of pitiful. Or see some middle-aged woman with trying to... She's got her hair dyed 17 different colors and sort of looks like a rainbow. And... And you got this crazy stuff. Shuts her eye, looks like she's been in a fist fight, and trying to preserve her. Listen, you know that there's a middle age, and I mean this. There's a middle age beauty that you don't buy from Helen Curtis, and it's really tragic for you to cover that beauty up with a facade. I mean that. Would it be tragic if Mrs. Bartels decided to put makeup on? A lot of it. I'm not against makeup. Good night. You guys on the platform could use improvement, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this. I see him at the airport. Some old gal, about 85 years old, got big old long high heels on, like on stilts, waddling down. It's sort of a shame for her to miss the beauty my mama has. Sort of a shame for her to do it. You know what I've decided? I've decided middle age is not so bad. I like it. Now, I'm worried about what I'm going toward next, but I sort of like it. I think that 56-year-old men are the handsomest age in the whole world. There's nothing like 56-year-old men when it comes to looks. And thank you. And I love it. I used to dread getting old. Don't mind anymore. I love my 20s. I love my 30s more. Love my 30s. Love my 40s more. Love my 50s. My 40s. Love my 50s more. Love my 50s. I can't wait till I get 60. It's getting better all the time. Like a lamp that just turns up all the time. I'm not one of these guys, oh, I just had my youth to live over again. Not me, buddy. I want to enjoy what I'm in right now. But there's a destruction. Listen, Brother John, More preachers give up at noonday than any other time of the ministry. More preachers start compromising at noonday than any other time in the ministry. Children are getting grown. How can I send them to college? How am I going to make them when I get old? Well, the Bible will be just as true when you get old as it is when you get while you're young. More preachers. More men go into sin at noontime, at noonday. More ladies wreck their lives at noonday. More people get commercial at noonday. More people leave their Bibles at noonday in life. More people leave the prayer closet at noonday. Why? Because, well, let me just say a few things about that. There are perils that do not lurk in the shadows, but in the rays of the noonday sun. They awake and prowl about at noon. In the shadows they sleep in helplessness. In a summer, did you know a summer of unbroken sunshine is not good for public health? And the glare may become an ally of infirmity. My sister and I were in South Bend. I was preaching in a sword conference, and she was visiting from Texas. I took her over there with me. She stayed a couple days with me. We were crossing a street, South Bend, in the late afternoon, and a car was coming. We were crossing like this, and the car was coming parallel with us. Not parallel, but opposite us. And it turned left. We didn't know it. We had the right of way, and the car turned left. And the car kept on coming. And I jumped instinctively. And while I jumped, while I was in the air, they said, I reached back and grabbed my sister like you're getting a rebound on a basketball. And I grabbed my sister and pulled her away. And as I pulled her away, the car hit her. But it wasn't like that. It was hit like that. And rushed her to the hospital and had x-rays taken. And she was all right. But we asked the fellow and said, why didn't you stop? And he said, it was the glare of the sun. The sun got in my eyes. Did you know a World Series was lost one time because in the daytime the infielder was trying to catch the ball and he couldn't get the ball because the ball got in the sun? Did you know malaria doesn't breed in the North Pole? Malaria breeds in the tropical climates. Did you know the plague, the awful plagues, come from the sun-drenched tropics? Did you know too much sun and the rivers shrink their beds? The cattle die from want. The crop is retarded in the field. Did you know that too much sunshine causes skin cancer? And did you know too much sunshine can wreck your life and ruin your life? I'm not talking to those of you who are not having it tough. I'm talking to those not having it tough. I'm not talking to those unemployed. I'm talking to those employed. I'm not talking to those that lost your job. I'm talking to those that have your jobs. You better watch it, deacons. I love you, but you better watch it. Before you know it, you can become a deacon in a church and think that your job is to take care of church business. That's not true. I'd rather you go back and not be a deacon if you could be a soul winner again. Nobody has a right to be a deacon and not a soul winner. Nobody. Better watch it, fellas. Better watch it, Sunday school teachers. Better watch it, college professors. Better watch it, pastors. Better watch it, staff. Better watch it, school teachers. Better watch it. After you've been in it a while, you get used to it. Before you know it, when you come to the noonday of life, before you know it, you stop that which got you where you are. And there's a destruction that wasteth at noonday. The destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now look at me and I'm through. Everything's okay with you? No problems? School bills paid? Children are well? Happy home? Better watch it. How much you been in that book this week? Better watch it. How long have you been on your knees this week? Better watch it. Better watch it. There are serpents that lurk in the shadows. There is a pestilence that walketh in darkness. And there are robbers in the caves that come out at night. But there also is a destruction that wasteth at noonday. If you're in the sunshine, you better watch it. Would you bite?